Are all hearts clear? If you've ever been in my office, you might notice on the top shelf, right in front of the desk, is first my Bible that my parents gave me when I turned 12 years old, which is 50-some years ago. And then behind it is a little frame with a certificate in it, and it's the 5-star memory certificate that I got when I was about 10 years old at the old Evangelical United Brethren Church in South Whitley. You know, I'm from a German family, and the EUB is like the Methodist Germans. They all got together back in the 60s. But the 5-star memory certificate, and if you look down in the bottom right corner, there's a name on the line there, signature Mildred Record. This was, I think, 1965 when I completed this, and at that point, Mildred Record was probably 85 years old. So my Sunday school teacher was born in about 1880. But there she was, spending week after week with a room full of 9 and 10-year-old kids, and you know how boys especially can be a little hard to keep in line at that age, and I was the head of the class in that way, I'm sure. But she managed to do it. And the 5-star memory certificate was that we had to learn, memorize, in the King James Version. Well, first of all, we had to memorize the names of the books of the Bible in order, which was an enormous gift to me. I can still do it without hesitation, and if we had more time, I'd prove it to you. But then we also had to memorize verbatim from the King James Version, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, and my mind's not like it used to be. I memorized it, but I can't remember what it was. The Ten Commandments, of course. The Ten Commandments. And if you ever read the Ten Commandments in the King James Version, there's a lot to memorize there. Anyway, I don't remember, of course, everything that good old Mrs. Record taught me. But she, in the process of teaching me that the Bible was worth paying attention to, she also communicated that I was worth paying attention to. And I think that our teachers especially, one of the things we remember, if you remember back in your years of school like me, I remember very little specifically that I learned during those years, but I sure remember the personalities, and I remember the teachers that I felt loved me and cared about me. There used to be a bumper sticker that you would see on the backs of cars. I haven't seen it for a while, but it used to say, if you can read this, thank a teacher. Well, you know, that's true not only of learning to read, but we human beings are born with very few of the things that we need to learn in order to live well and to live effectively. We have probably fewer instincts than any other species, as far as I know. And that from the time we appear in this world until we leave it, we are dependent on teachers. Maybe that bumper sticker should be amended a little bit to say, if you can read life, thank a teacher. Because we all had to choose or at least fall under the teaching of somebody. The great question is, who are your teachers? Because you have some, and you had some, and it's worthwhile once in a while to remember who they were. If you listen to the first part of that passage that I read from 2 Timothy, Paul was writing late in his life before his martyrdom, and he had undergone great persecution. And he was writing to Timothy and therefore to the church as well about living through a hard time, because the church was under great persecution at that time. And so what Paul was doing was saying, if you want to know how to get through hard stuff, If you want to know how to get through the hardest things that life is going to throw at you, remember your teachers. That is, remember from where you learned life. We so often emphasize, and there's nothing wrong with talking about heaven and the life after this one, but the gospel's primary focus is actually how to live. It's about how to live. And we need teaching, because we're not born with that. We got an education. Everybody got an education of one kind or another. And so the scripture, is calling us to remember our teachers and, of course, what it is they offered us so that we can know how to get through hard stuff. Who were your teachers? Where did you learn how to live? I remember little things like, share that with your sisters. Knock it off. And also sometimes, I'm really proud of you. I remember one old guy at church camp one year. He's still living, and he's over 95 now. But I was going through kind of a rough time, and this pastor came up, put his arm around my shoulder and said, "Rick, I've got a lot of confidence in you." My first thought was, "What? Why would you do that?" But he somehow knew what I needed to hear, and his voice became the voice of Jesus to me. So we not only have a collection of teachers that we can look at through our lives, but we realize that we're also teaching all the time as well, especially as we get older and spend our time around younger people. Who modeled life for you? Did you have an Apostle Paul in your life? Somebody that lived out and also perhaps taught you in word how to do this thing called life, how to do it well, how to walk through hard things, how to bounce back, how to have faith. You know, when I think about it, a lot of my teachers actually were people I read in books. My books, I treasure my books. I've got a bunch of them. Some of them are good and some of them not so good. Some of them have good little parts that I attached to and ignored the rest. What about you? Have your teachers been someone that you became acquainted with on the printed page? I do want to go back to my notes for one little thing here, because I thought this was powerful. In this same letter to Timothy, the next chapter, Paul has just a practical note he's saying to Timothy, and he's saying, when you come next fall to see me, bring the cloak that I left and also the books and the parchments. And the great preacher Spurgeon commented on this verse, and listen to this. He said, Paul is inspired, yet he wants books. He's been preaching at least 30 years, yet he wants books. He's seen the Lord, yet he wants books. He's had a wider experience than most men, yet he wants books. He's been caught up into the third heaven and heard the things it is unlawful to utter, yet he wants books. He's written the major part of the New Testament, yet he wants books. I remember a cartoon I saw years ago, and I think it was maybe in Leadership Magazine, and this pastor sitting at his desk with his hand in his head, or his head in his hands, and he says, I don't know what to preach about this week. You see the background, there's like shelves and shelves of books all over the room. And I got to tell you, all the stuff that I come up here and talk about every week doesn't just come out of my head. I spend time in books because those are my teachers. Have you had spiritual teachers that have truly taught you in books? Who are they? I'd love to hear some names. Tell me. C.S. Lewis has helped me immensely from the time I was a young Christian because he taught me that when you become a follower of Jesus, you don't have to check your brain in at the door. Who are your teachers? It doesn't have to be a religious writer, but what writers have been your teachers? I know you're a reading bunch of people because I know a lot of you pretty well. Who's it been? Just tell me their names. Wendell Berry. I'm trying to hear some other voices besides my own this morning. Richard Rohr. Great. Do you read something by somebody every day? I think you ought to. We have one book, of course, that as Christians is the main book, and Chris did a really good job of pointing that out to the kids this morning. Of course, that's our Christian scriptures, the Bible. We have to read it intelligently, don't we? I've never been one that thought you could just turn to any given page and open it up and there's your answer. Maybe I don't have as much faith as somebody else does. But my experience as a Christian and a person that's been through college and seminary and all that other stuff, some of which is really good, some of which isn't. But one of the most important things that I learned is that you need some guidance, usually, to know how to read the Bible. And you remember there was an episode in the Gospel of John where Jesus is approached by some religious leaders, and he says something to the effect that you search the Scriptures, and you think that in them you have eternal life, when all the time they were pointing at me, yet you refused to come to me. That's a Quaker passage if I ever heard one. The Scriptures are sort of like an aqueduct that brings the water to a city, maybe. That the water's there, but we have to drink it. And what that water is bringing is life. And we need some help knowing how to understand it. Probably the most read devotional of all time, aside from the Scriptures, is Thomas A. Kempis's The Imitation of Christ. And he says something in there that I think was the same foundational way of looking at the Scriptures that we Quakers have adopted through the centuries. He was a Quaker, so to speak, long before there was such a thing. It's in a little chapter called The Truth Speaks Inwardly. And here's my final main point this morning. All these other teachers, the human beings that have been in our lives, the books that we have read, the Bible, all of those are just secondary to what we call our inward teacher. That it's Christ in us, teaching us as we listen to these other things. That the inward teacher is the true teacher. And that's pretty much, if you listen to what The Imitation of Christ says here, a little section called The Truth Speaks Inwardly. And this is in the form of a prayer. And speaking about the Scripture. He says, they indeed speak words, but they cannot give the Spirit. They speak most beautifully, but if you are silent, speaking to God, if you, God, are silent, they cannot kindle the heart. They teach the letter, but you open the meaning. They bring forth mysteries, but you open the true understanding of their signs. They declare the commandments, but you enable us to obey them. They show us the way, but you give strength to walk in it. They work from outside, but you instruct and enlighten within the heart. The light of Christ within, the teacher, the inward teacher. They water, but you give the increase. They cry aloud in words, but you give understanding of the words that are heard. I'm trying to sum this all up. Life's hard sometimes. We go through seasons where it seems like it's hard just to know how to negotiate our way through. We have some happy, easy times when things seem to be going really well. That's true for a meeting too, isn't it? We go through sometimes months when things are going relatively well, and suddenly we have several dear people who are stricken with illness. We lose members. We see the challenges that we're facing in the world. What do? We remember our teachers. We turn to them, the human beings that can offer us good counsel, the books that are helpful to us, of course, the scriptures, but especially the inward teacher, that light of Christ that's in you and in me.